Our sermon text comes from Hebrews, letter of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, and that's found on page 1180 in the Pew Bible. And we'll stand, if we're able, to read that, and then we'll be seated after that. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, though through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Amen. You may be seated. And I ask that you pray with and for me. Father, we thank you, we praise you, that you have given us this strong and powerful thing called faith. Strong and powerful because you are a strong and powerful God, and our faith is in you. And so we pray, Lord, that you would teach us, that your Spirit would give us understanding, and that we would see Jesus, and that we would put our faith and our trust in him. And thank you that it is through faith in him that you save us. And so thank you for these blessings. And we pray that that your word would be effective in each of us to cause us to be born again. And that we would have new life in the living hope that you have given us in Christ. And so we thank you and we praise you for each one. We ask your blessing on each one, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What will make a difference in people's lives? What will help us stand and endure in the inevitable trials and troubles that make up the struggle of life? The author of Hebrews points the believer of his day and the believer in our day, we as well, to the dynamic of faith. Faith is what will make the difference. In the previous chapter, we were reminded from a quote by the prophet Habakkuk, "The just shall live by faith," and that we are not those who shrink back to perdition or shrink back to lostness, but we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's in Hebrews 10:39. And so what is this thing that the Bible calls faith? And Hebrews 11 anticipates the questions that we might have. What is this faith that we need to the saving of our soul? And so, Pastor, can you give us some examples? And the answer is, glad you asked, yes, I can give lots of them. Hebrews 11 gives example after example after example of people in the Bible who acted on faith. That is, they believed what God said and therefore did as they were commanded, did as God promised, and received God's commendation, that they pleased God by faith. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. God is pleased when we believe Him and seek Him diligently. Let me repeat that. God is pleased when we believe Him and seek Him diligently. That's from verse 6, from Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You want the reward? Bible says, seek God diligently and you will be rewarded. Amen? Amen. And so we need to ask and answer the question, what is faith? Now, we don't have a complete description and definition of faith, but we have a partial one here. In verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Or you could even read, faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so this is substance, or faith substantiates the promises of God we hope for. In other words, we don't see what God has promised, but faith says, God said it, so it's going to happen. And so we already have what God says we have because God's promise is so sure. Amen? Amen. And so faith is the substantiation of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And so we like to talk about empirical evidence. In other words, something that we can touch or that we can taste or that we can see or hear. Did I get all of them? I might be missing one. Faith is kind of a second sight. Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And so faith is what helps us see things and believe things spiritually, things that are there, but we can't see, touch, or feel, or taste with our physical senses. And so faith is the evidence, or faith is the demonstration, the convincing proof to the believer, the soul thereby seeing what the eye cannot see. That's Jameson says that. So faith becomes a convincing proof to the believer. And that reminds me of the words of Augustine, the African bishop of the town of Hippo. He said, we must first believe in order that we may know. And so he, in shorthand, I believe in order to know. And so that's how we know things spiritually, is we know them by faith. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is also a witness and an understanding. We see that in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verses 2 and 3 says, For by faith the elders obtained a good testimony or a good witness, or they were good witnesses. And the Greek word there is martyr. So originally martyr, we think of martyr as someone who is killed for the faith. The original meaning of martyr was witness. And so they witnessed their faith in Jesus and they lost their life. But in the process, they also saved their life because God raised them from the dead. And so the elders obtained a good witness by faith. And it also says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or prepared or fitted out by the word of God. So you may have heard in different places that there was a big bang and that the world was created out of nothing when there was this huge explosion. Well, that's according to the imaginations of men. But the Bible says that God created everything out of nothing in the space of 6 24-hour days. And so if you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you see that there are 6 regular morning and evening days, and there's nothing in that passage that would lead you to think that the days are longer than 24 hours. And so to get that kind of thinking, you have to read it into the text rather than extract it from the text. And the bottom line is, we don't know what happened back then because we weren't there. But God knows, and God has revealed it to us in His Word. And so the best evidence from Scripture is that God created everything out of nothing in 6 days. And then He rested on the 7th day. And so it also says that God created man in His image. And so before me are a lot of people who are created in God's image. And created male and female, He created them. And so we have before us a lot of people who are, even down to their cells, they are either male or female. Because we are either XX or XY. And so even if I were to say, well, I don't feel like I'm a man, I think I'm more a woman, and maybe I should get my body changed by hormones or by surgery, even so, my cells would scream out against what I feel inside, and they would still say XY. And so there, even though I might get a surgery, the tendency would be for my body to revert to what God created me to be. And there are those who, because they transition, they're in a lot of pain and difficulty and suffering because the body wants to reassert what it was originally created to be. And so I would urge all of you and anyone who might ask you for counsel not to go down that route. And there are other ways to treat, as it was called and still should be called, sexual dysphoria. And that is to affirm what God says, that God created us male and female, originally good. And so before the fall, good. And we need to be restored to the image that God has made. And so we understand that all things visible were created by things not visible. And by faith, we understand that principle. And then we have the example of Abel's faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. And so you can read about Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, 1 through 15. And in that account, Abel stands out by not giving some of his increase like Cain. Now, Cain brought forth the fruits of the earth, and Abel brought forth the firstlings of his flock. It says that Cain gave some of his fruit, whereas Abel gave the fat of his flock. In other words, Abel gave the best, the first and best of his increase. And so the truth is that he gave the fat, and the fat is good. So contrary to what you've heard, fat is not bad. Fat is good. We need fat. Our hormones are made of fat. Our nerve cells and brain cells are made of fat. And contrary to popular belief, the fat is good. And but Abel gave of his increase. And that's a good example for us. Faith gives the first and the best to God. And so that's why we give of our increase. We give a tenth back to God, because God has blessed us with 100%. And we want to give a tenth back to recognize and thank God for his blessing. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was righteous. And so God was pleased with his offering, but God was not pleased with Cain's offering. We don't know why, but we just know that God was not pleased with Cain's offering. It might have been that Cain offered his offering in pride. Or he may have thought that his offering was better than Abel's. We don't know. We just know that he was pleased with the one and not with the other. Maybe Abel's offering was offered in humility or in faith, and Cain's wasn't. Maybe Cain's offering was given grudgingly. We don't know, but for whatever reason, God was not pleased with Cain's offering. And we have to believe that God can see the heart, and that God would do justly and rightly in this case. So Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and Abel's offering showed that that Abel did have faith. It says, by faith, Abel offered, or by an act of faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it's interesting that it says a more excellent sacrifice. That's a recurring theme throughout Hebrews, is that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is a more excellent sacrifice than any of the sacrifices offered in the temple in Jerusalem. And that's a theme because the people of the Hebrews that are being addressed in this letter, they were encouraged to go back to the temple and to say, well, yeah, what Christ did on the cross was good, but we still need the temple worship. And the author of Hebrews is saying, no, what Christ did is once and for all. And because of that once and for all sacrifice, we don't need the old sacrifices, the shadows that point ahead to the substance of the sacrifice of Christ. And so we now have a more excellent sacrifice in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And so trust in that sacrifice and you will be saved. Amen. Amen. And so we have the example of Abel. His sacrifice still speaks of his righteousness by faith. And then we have the example of Enoch. Enoch is the seventh from Adam. We read about him in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so we can read about Enoch in Genesis 5:22 and 24. Says twice that Enoch walked with God. How do you walk with an unseen God? Well, you do it by faith. By faith, Enoch walked with God. And so we can follow that example. Enoch walked with God. How many years does it say? 365 years. And so how many days a year is it good to walk with God? 365. That's a good way to remember how long he walked with God. And then without him dying, God took him. And that's a good type of Christ in the ascension. Because Christ, when he rose after 40 days, he ascended into heaven. And so he is in heaven bodily, just as Enoch is in heaven bodily. And Enoch pleased God. God took him and he did not die. Why? Because faith is the way to please God. According to verse 6, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Can we please God without faith? No, we can't. It's impossible. It's got to be by faith. That's the way God has set up. Why? Why? Because we've sinned. Because we've sinned, and so the way to God, not by faith, you could say that we blew it, and that the only way to come is not through ourselves, but through a substitute. And who's the substitute? Well, the substitute is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, by faith in what he did, by faith in his perfect life, and his perfect sacrifice, his sacrifice was the only perfect sacrifice ever. By faith in that, then God is pleased. God is satisfied. And so he looks, when we trust in Christ, he looks at the faith of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ when we trust in him. And that is counted to us. And so it's as if we were perfect in our works and perfect in our sacrifice. And so it's Christ's sacrifice instead of us. And that's what pleases God. And so do you want to please God? I want to please God. Please Him by faith. Faith must believe that God is. You need to believe that God is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so that's why I said at the beginning, God is pleased when we believe Him and seek Him diligently. Amen? Amen. And lastly, we have the example of Noah's faith. We read about Noah in Genesis 6, verses 1 through 10. The earth was in a bad state. The imaginations of the people were only evil continually, kind of like in some ways the world is now. And Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. And he was moved by godly fear to prepare an ark for the saving of his household, because God said that He was going to destroy the earth by a flood that He would bring about by rain. Now, it had not rained yet in the earth. And so the first rain that anyone saw was on the first day, the first of 40 days of rain that came on the world in a universal flood. Now, the flood happened all over the earth, and there are many flood narratives in ancient literature, and this is on both sides of the globe. And so it's good example, extra biblical example of a universal flood. But there also is evidence, even in the earth, of universal flood as well. And if you want to study that more, you can look it up in, there's Answers in Genesis. It's a good online resource for understanding the flood and the Genesis accounts as history. But here in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Noah was divinely warned of things not seen. So how was he able to prepare this ark and work on it from his 500th year to his 600th year? In other words, he constructed that ark for 100 years along with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's a lot of faith to work on an ark, preparing for rain that had never happened, but was definitely going to happen because God said it was going to happen. And if God says it, then count on it. It's going to happen. And it did happen. And the whole world was flooded in the 600th year of Noah. You could read about that in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. All the fountains of the deep were broken up. And there are those who have studied this. Physicists tell us that if that happened, there would have been quite an earthquake. And it might be that a lot of the people were killed by the earthquake even before the floodwaters, because there would have been a great shaking. And they see that there's evidence of a great earthquake in that time, in the strata of the rock that would be equivalent to the time of the flood. But Noah prepared the ark for the saving of his household. And salvation is a two-edged sword. In other words, there are those who are saved and those who are not saved. And so the Bible tells us the ones who believe, the ones who have faith, are the ones who are saved. And so in a verse as simple as John 3:16, we see this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the dividing line comes on whether we believe in the Son of God or not, because there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And that name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in Acts chapter 4:12. And so I urge you to believe, to put your faith and your trust in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And that works for the saving of your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your household. Acts chapter 16 tells us. So Noah, in like fashion, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, but also by it condemned the world. It says he was a preacher of righteousness while he prepared the ark. But the only converts he had were in his family. No one else believed him. They probably ridiculed him. Said, Noah, why are you building this big boat? And he would say, well, God says he's sick and tired of the sin of man, and he's going to destroy the world in a universal flood. And probably he would have been laughed at. But when the rain started coming and the waters started rising, they weren't laughing anymore. And by then, Noah and his family were shut up into the ark. It says that God closed the door. And what God closes, no one can open. And what God opens, no one can close. And so the world was condemned. And so that's a picture for us of the last judgment. God is not going to destroy the world with a flood. In the end, he's going to destroy the world with fire. And so it's not just hopeful thinking, but this is serious. And we're playing for keeps. We're playing for eternity. And so this is an urgent message for us to believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. And to be, for us to become heirs of righteousness according to faith, for us to save our own household. And so I urge you who believe to encourage your family, to encourage your friends, to tell them to turn from sin, turn from breaking God's command, and to please God by faith and to believe in his sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is pleased when we believe him and seek him diligently. And so I urge you to seek him on the terms that he's given, and that is to seek him through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in what he did on the cross and walk by faith and please God. Amen. Let's pray. God, you reveal in your word that you are pleased when we believe you and when we seek you diligently. And so help us to seek you on your terms. I pray that we would not trust in what we do, but we would trust in what Christ did for us on, in our place on the cross, to take away our sin and to give us his righteousness. Help us to trust what you have provided, and to believe and to be born again to this new and living hope. And grant, Lord, that we would have faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Thank you for this gift of faith and pray that you would give that gift to each one who is here and that we would grow in this grace and in this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.